Welcome to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Vlorn. Here he is, our producer and our engineer, Stephen the Man Sheldon.
Hello, sir.
How are you doing? Right?
Turkeyed out.
I was thinking about something the other day.
What?
Because I was sitting with my dad, you know, and we were talking about when I was a little guy.
Okay.
Like, what was your job? The earliest job you can remember in your house, like the earliest chore you ever had? Because you guys all had chores growing up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what was your chore?
It had to be garbage or something domestic related.
You can't really.
But we all had chores. I remember taking out garbage with an empty dishwasher.
Yeah.
Helping mom put away plates, making your bed.
All right.
I'm like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. Kind of
my
things.
Earliest chore that I can remember is lawn mowing.
Okay.
And I was allergic, and I used to mow the lawn with it like
a
one
bandana.
Hand because I had a handkerchief in my hand, sneezing. And it killed my mother, but I guess they knew that I had to get a chore because I was the laziest person that ever lived. And they had me out there mowing that lawn every day, every week, you know?
Did you have a push mower?
I had a an electric mower.
Oh, okay.
Black and Decker. Yeah, I remember it well. But, you know, it was not fun. But at the same time, responsibility starts as a little kid and doesn't seem to end until like 5 minutes after we're home with God. There's a lot of responsibility in life, but you know what? That's part of our lives, right? God calls us to be responsible people and to be people who, you know, contribute and also are responsible for ourselves, because if we're not, somebody else has to be. And it's kind of about, you know, you can't be my disciple unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's part of the whole game. So that's what we're looking at, Religion and Rock today. Responsibility, how we can be better responsible people, how I can mow that lawn without sneezing so much. So to start us off, here's Van Halen. This is called Right Now.
Yeah.
Van Halen right now. Yeah, that's important in our lives, to live for the moment, to make sure we live in such a way that we recognize the power of now. We recognize the fact that in our lives, now is the moment we have. Now is the moment that we're called to share. And, you know, it's hard to live in the present, right? I think a lot of us like to live in the past, or sometimes we live in the future, and it's about living in the moment, you know, and that's not always easy to do, but it's an important gift, a very important thing for us to be able to live in our lives every day, the right now of our life. You know, I know so much of my life was preparation, you know, it was preparation for ordination to the priesthood, right? 9 years of that, and then 4 years in high school thinking about it. So you think about, like, so much of life is sort of geared up toward one thing. Then when that happens, it's sort of like getting your bearings again and saying, okay, I did that. Now, what does God want me to do? What do I do? It's sort of like those of you who've been planning a wedding, and you plan that wedding for like 2 years, and then the wedding happens, and now it's time to start living marriage. Like, that's a whole different ballgame, right? So there's something exciting about it, but also something challenging about living in the right now. And that's the important, I think, component of what this is all about. Being responsible is about living in that moment and cherishing it and being excited about every single moment of our lives. Here's Asia, Heat of the Moment.
Thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face. Do you remember when we used to dance, and incidents arose from circumstance? One thing led to another, we were young, scream together songs unsung. It was the heat of the moment, telling me what my heart meant. The heat of the moment showed in your eyes. And now you find yourself in 82. The disco hot spots hold no charm for you. You can't concern yourself with bigger things. You catch a pull and ride the dragon's wings. Cause it's the heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. Showed in your eyes.
is Asia, heat of the moment. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we say things and do things that obviously are irresponsible or even sinful, right? We feel rotten about things that we've done. In our lives, you know, it's always about being able to be forgiven, being able to seek forgiveness. That's an important component of adult life, you know? Being able to be responsible enough to say, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry I said that. Sorry I did that. Sorry that went the way it went. I didn't mean it to be like that. Hard to take things back sometimes once our mouths open up. Once you hit send with the darn email, right? You're like, oh, I wish I could take that back. I think it's about being responsible. I think sometimes it's about thinking things through. I think sometimes it's about counting to five, you know, before we actually say or do something. And that becomes a big difference in our lives. All of us are challenged at different moments. All of us have struggles at different moments. It's what we do at those moments that I think are the fiber of who we are. Do you pray to God for about, you know, dealing with anger and disappointment in life? Do you pray to God and ask for help when we're frustrated, when maybe we're tempted to do something crazy? I think there's something powerful about recognizing that and seeing, you know, in our lives, we can be healthy. We can be responsible if we take that break in the heat of the moment and recognize, you know, God is with us and we're going to get through it. Here's Joe Jackson, Sunday Papers.
Sits at home and rolls her spastic eyes, but every weekend through the door come words of wisdom from the world outside. If you wanna know about the bishop and an actress, if you wanna know how to be a star, if you wanna know about the stains on the mattress, you can read it in the Sunday papers. Stays out in the hall. Why should she go out when the TV's on? Whatever moves beyond these walls, she'll know the facts when Sunday comes along. If you wanna know about the mad punk rockers, if you wanna know how to play guitar, if you wanna know about any other suckers, the press. They wouldn't print it if it wasn't true. If you wanna know about the gay politician, if you wanna know how to drive your car, if you wanna know about the new sex position, you can read it in the Sunday papers.
Sunday papers. I don't know if you're like me. I read the papers every day. I don't read physical paper anymore. Isn't that crazy? You know, I'm one of those people who reads it electronically all the time. Now, it's a funny thing. I read the Wall Street Journal. You have to subscribe to the paper version to get the electronic version. They're smart, right? So I get the paper version every day, and unfortunately, I just kind of toss it because I read it online. I read it online every single morning. It's amazing in our lives, you know, to be informed takes time. It takes commitment. And I think we have a certain responsibility to be informed, to know what's going on, to know some politics in the world, to know the crises that are going on in the world, because I think that's part of being a good steward of this planet. You know, sometimes I talk to people and say, well, and I don't watch the news because it's all bad news. I don't read the papers because it's all bad stuff. I just read a couple of sports pages. Well, that's okay. But at the same time, you know, reading the front of the paper is pretty good too, because I think it helps us to see, you know, in our lives, you know, we need to be informed. We need to understand that. We have elections that have just passed and presidential elections coming up. You know, do you vote for the person with the nicest hair or the nicest voice, or are you voting on issues? Are we really praying and asking God to help us, you know, to take a look at the issues that are going on in the world and say, how do I, you know, mix this together with my faith life, and what's the right thing for me to be doing? What should I be supporting? All those things are such important realities, and it takes time, but that's part of what we're called to do with responsibility in our lives. Here's Sheryl Crow. This is called My Favorite Mistake.
I woke up and called this morning.
What is your favorite mistake? Think about that. What's the best mistake you ever made? Sometimes we make mistakes and we learn an awful lot from it. Our whole lives change because of it. And there's something, you know, pretty powerful about that. I can think of the times that I've been humbled by people, times that I've been knocked down by people. And believe it or not, those times have been good times, because even though it doesn't feel great when it's happening, I think you learn a little something about yourself and you learn your own vulnerability, but you learn your own brokenness. And that's okay. You know, I think sometimes, you know, there are things that happen in our lives that are frustrating. It's what we do with the frustration too that makes a big difference in our lives too. I know for me, you know, jealousy is something that's very frustrating to me. When people are jealous, I don't like that experience. I don't like that feeling, and I see it in people. You know, you say, "Well, come on, we're all in this together. Like, there's no reason to be jealous of anything that I'm doing or anything that's going on." And it's a terrible feeling. Really, it's a terrible, terrible thing. I think ultimately in our lives, you know, if we are satisfied with who we are, and if we can see the gifts in our own particular life, there's no need to be jealous of anybody. And I think that's probably the best thing we can do in this life, is embrace ourselves, the gifts we've been given, and really be responsible with that. I was just talking to an eighth grade class about this the other day, and I said, you know, if my dream, I said, all of you are beautiful before God and before one another, and you're all gifts, you know, and irreplaceable gifts. You know, if it's about who can run the 4-minute mile, there might be one or two people in this room who could do that. It's about who could sing. Well, it might be one or two people. Put it all together, and we got a class full of very talented people. Hopefully kids see that. Hopefully adults see that. And, you know, we don't make the mistakes of jealousy and anger and hurt that really makes this world so divided. Here's the Pretenders, "My City Was Gone."
Government that had no pride. of Ohio had been replaced by shopping malls, and music filled the air from Seneca to Cahoga Falls. Said, hey, oh, way to go, Ohio.
Well, certainly things never stop changing in our lives, and I think it's important to see that, that as life goes on, as life progresses, you know, we live through a lot of change. To look for the town that you live in of 20 years ago, to look for, you know, the old days to be present in the new days, well, it's kind of impossible. Think about how technology has changed. Think about how we have this new appendage called the cell phone, you know, that kind of hangs off the end of our arm all day long, and how it's changed our life. You know, some things are wonderful technological advances, and the same darn technological advance that is wonderful can also be terrible, right? It can also help us to be so less personal to one another. It can help us to be anonymous. It can help us to be all kinds of things that are not so good. And yet these phones and little devices we carry around, they can change the world. You know, they really can for good, because we can communicate with one another. We can communicate things that are important with one another. We can wish one another well so easily. And there's so many nice things about it. So it's kind of that balance, you know, to see that things change, but to be responsible even with technology in our life, right? You know, I can't stand when I'm at a meeting and people are using their phones and texting. What could be going on that, you know, is that important that we have to text through the meeting? And so usually when I have a meeting that I'm hosting, I ask everybody to turn in their electronics before they come in, and they either leave them at your desk or leave them in your pocket or put them in the basket in the center of the table, because we're not using them today, you know, for this 1 hour meeting that we're having, this half hour meeting. There's something good about that. I think it's possible to live like that. And that's part of, you know, I think what we have to be in our lives, to see that technology can't rule us. We are called to rule technology. Hey, I'm Monsignor Jim. You're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about responsibility today. This is Genesis, Just a Job to Do.
Bye.
We had a staff meeting the other day at Telecare Television, and I was talking to the staff. I said, listen, we got like a sign-in sheet when you come in the front of the building. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm throwing it away today. And people like wanted to clap. I could tell. And I was like, you know, I trust all of you. Like, I think you're, you know, you come in on time and you work an honest day. And so why should we have to have this silly sign-in and checkout thing? I trust that you're there. I trust that you arrive on time. I trust that if you come a half hour late, you're going to stay a half hour later. You know, it's all going to work out. I'm not going to play this silly little game anymore. I've been doing this for a long time. And there's something beautiful about that. I think when you can trust the people you work with or the people that you supervise in such a way that you say, yeah, you know what, this is going to be okay. I mean, that doesn't mean we're irresponsible with our kids and say, yeah, I trust them. They won't have anybody over. No, I think we have to double check and triple check on that kind of stuff. But the reality is, like, we like to be trusted. So the idea is that if we trust others, perhaps we'll be trusted too. There's kind of a give and take in that whole kind of gift. So I think there's something important about, you know, we all have a job to do, and it's about being responsible with our work, responsible with the job we've been given, and recognize that even that job, as much as we might not like it, it's a gift from God. And we're called to use it well and to be responsible with it, not to cheat, not to steal time or steal things or steal hours, but to be people who are responsible at work too. That's an important thing. I never like seeing people stealing time. And I sometimes see that, you know, driving around, you see a truck parked on the side of the road, you know, with a famous name on it, and they're just sitting there. Maybe they're on a break, but maybe they're just spending the day out on a boat and just parking the thing in front of a house and going out on their boat. You know, it's important that we're responsible with the gifts that we've been given and responsible with our work. I think that's what God calls us to. Here's John Mellencamp. Check it out.
Tell your best buddy that you love him. So check it out. We're done. hope they have a better understanding.
Reflecting is an important part of all of this stuff, being able to take a look inside our lives. You know, that's an important thing about it. And I think we have to be able to do that, to be responsible people, to look inside ourselves, to do what they call an examination of conscience. Examination of conscience, what does that boil down to? To look at our lives and say, you know, what have I done that's it's not so good? What's not right? What did I do that's wrong? And to ask forgiveness from God for that, for maybe from people that we've hurt, and to be able to move on from that. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is ask forgiveness for ourselves, you know, because sometimes we're pretty down on ourselves. We have to let it go. We have to move beyond it and say, you know, I'm sorry about that. I really can't take it back because it's already out there. But you know what? I got to move beyond it. And that's an important reality for all of us to be able to do, to check it out. Check it out our lives and say, you know, I gotta really seek forgiveness for this. I got to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I got to do something. And there's something powerful about that kind of moment where we move beyond the hurt. We move beyond the pain and we're whole once again. It's a beautiful experience when it happens. Here's Elvis Costello. This is called Radio Radio. Ah, how our little medium has changed. Radio, radio. Yeah, you know, radio is my first love, and I go way, way back to transistor and a little earpiece, you know, that I used to wear, bring it, sneak it into school, and run down the wire up my arm and all that stuff. It was crazy. But, you know, radio's changed dramatically, too, as time has gone on, right? It used to be kind of free-form radio. You'd call up the DJ, and he'd play what you wanted. He'd play what he wanted. Now it's all kind of figured out and all of that stuff, except religion and rock. Well, Sheldon and I still play whatever we want to play every week. We still have that great gift, which is absolutely astounding, and I'm very, very grateful to it, to all of the bosses for that. But, you know, it has changed dramatically. It's still a very personal, you know, medium, and that's what I love about radio so much. When I speak on television, I try to make it like radio. I try to think like on the other side of the camera is a person who's watching. But with radio, I know I'm talking to you. There's just something very personal about it, and I know that we have kind of a relationship, you know? So there's something beautiful about that, and that God would use radio to communicate. Wow, what a tremendous gift that is. And I always feel very humbled by that ability to be able to be with you every week, to speak with you every week for 27 years. It's absolutely incredible. A tremendous gift that we're called to utilize in our lives. What do you listen to on the radio? What are your favorite shows? How can you better feed yourself with good shows, you know, and good music and good things that help us to grow and make connections where God is in our lives? That's what we've been doing on this show for 27 years, you know? How do we make those connections with how God works in our lives and is calling us every day to make more connections? What a powerful gift. Here's Eric Clapton. This is called Promises.
I don't care if you never come home. I don't mind if you just keep on rolling away on a distant sea. 'Cause I don't love you and you don't love me. You cause a commotion when you come to town. You give them a smile and they melt. Having lovers and friends is all good and fine, but I don't like yours and you don't like mine. I don't care what you do at night, oh, I don't care how you get your lights on. Just let it be. I don't love you and you don't love me. I got a problem. Can you relate? I got a woman calling love hate. We meet about. They always be friends. How could we know promises and time you saw what I want you to see, that I'd still love you if you just love me. I got a problem, can you relate? I got a woman calling love pain. We made a vow, we'd always be friends. How could we know that promises and
you know, there are a number of times in our lives we make promises to be responsible. You want to go backwards or you want to go forwards? Let's go forwards. How about like when we are baptized, you know, we make baptismal promises, right? What are the promises? You know them. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you, you know, all of those things? Do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? I do. Those are the promises, responsibilities that we take on when we become a believer, a Christian. When we get married, we make a promise, right, to be responsible with that person who we love, that we will remain faithful for our entire lives. And, of course, sometimes that doesn't work out. But the gift is when we're getting married, certainly our intention is there that it'll be forever, right? When we have a child, a boy or a girl, we always say, yeah, that's it. I'm going to be their mom. I'm going to be their dad their whole life. So there's something beautiful about that, and I think that's part of where God calls us to really use those gifts in our lives. We make promises all the time. I promise I'll be there for you, and it's about coming through on those promises that make I think friendship great, make love great, make family great. It's all connected. Here's the Wallflowers. This is called One Headlight.
My only friend.
on a very practical note, taking this song for what it is, you know, you hope somebody points out when one of your headlights is out, right? You hope somebody, you know, calls your attention to it because you might not notice it. It's like when we drive down the road and our headlights are off, right? I think in our lives, you know, there are people who are those people who help us to be responsible, right? They point us in the direction of responsibility. We need that in our lives, don't we? We need people who are responsible. We need people who teach us about responsibility. And that really is the end game, you know? To be responsible, we need to be responsible toward one another. We need to be responsible with the gifts God gave us, the people God gave us, and being able to point out maybe to one another in a loving way, you know, hey, your headlight's out. Hey, you're going in the wrong direction here. Hey, this is not the best place for you to be. And to be able to accept that even when somebody says it to us, right, how important that is. Sometimes it's all about honesty. And I think it's about taking a good look in the mirror sometimes, a prayerful look in the mirror, a kind of cruise inside in prayer and take a look and say, you know what? Yeah, I really need to work on this. I really need to make this better. I think that's being responsible with a prayer life. It's being responsible with our relationship with God. And that pays off in the end because it makes us deeply happy, deeply hopeful, deeply faithful. And those things come to come to a coming together in such a way that life becomes exciting. We become exciting. The world becomes a better place. You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlahan, and it's engineered and produced by the guy with all the gifts, Stephen Shaldone. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.